Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we've all had time to see it now, so let's look up and discuss that Superman trailer. Plus, Blake Lively launches a disinformation lawsuit. Ruh-roh. Mufasa is out, several TV renewals, and a few streaming movie or TV recommendations to tide you over for the holidays. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today is my fellow ho, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
I forgot you were alive, so it's good
Happy
to hear
holidays.
You.
Happy holidays. This is my gift to everyone.
Good to hear your voice. How you been?
I'm improved. I'm much improved. I promise I wasn't just skipping the podcast. Like, I've been sick with pneumonia, so my ass was getting kicked.
Ouch. You feel better now, though?
Yeah, a lot better. I still have a little bit of a cough and some congestion stuff. It just basically feels like now I have a head cold, which is better than like a chest cold.
Well, honestly, what I'd like to do is just spend the whole podcast talking about your symptoms. So if we could do that, I think that could be fun.
Hey, it's going around in Colorado, so if you're out here, be careful.
It's going around everywhere. It's that time of year. You know, Merry Christmas. Yeah. We're all sick. Thanks for bringing the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. We should say if you know Troy Heinrichs on the show, wish him well. He was recently in a fender bender. That was pretty scary, but he is A-okay.
Is it a fender bender if the car is totaled? That feels like more than a fender bender.
I mean, it is, but I've also driven with Troy. So while it might be another person's fault, I'm like, is it though? No, he's okay. His family's okay. So I'm glad that all is well. Have you been watching a lot of TV and movies? Because you haven't been here in about a month and a half, so I assume you have a lot to get caught up on.
I've watched stuff on Netflix. That's primarily where I watch new things. I can't say that I've endeavored outside of that too much. But yeah, especially when I was sick, I've been watching like Grey's Anatomy. I don't know why.
God, it's just why? Like a comfort show. Come on, man.
It's old episodes, not like the new episodes.
That doesn't make it any better. That just makes it worse. Like, move on.
I know.
When is it time to let go? Like, what? That's a great topic. When is it time to let go of a show you've been addicted to for how long has it been on? 20 years? Almost 20
Something
years?
Something like that. But that would be like telling you to stop rewatching Psych. That's just weird.
No, that's comfort food. And I usually fall asleep to it 10 minutes in.
It's comfort food for me too. Exactly the same. That's what I'm saying. While I was sick, it's been really good to just like not have to pay attention to it, but have something comforting on.
But Psych is enjoyable. I mean, I've only seen commercials for Grey's Anatomy too. And I'm annoyed. I just can't handle it.
That's fair.
All right. Well, speaking of other TV news, so a few big TV renewals happened while we were out. We actually haven't had an episode in a couple of weeks. We weren't going to do an episode, but you were available. I was available. And this damn Superman trailer came out and the whole world wants to talk about it. So fine. Whatever.
So here we are.
We'll throw our capes on. All right. So a few big TV renewals. Silo on Apple TV Plus has been renewed for seasons 3 and 4. That's going to serve as the series finale on that Rebecca Ferguson show that's based on the books by Hugh Howey. The remnants of humanity live underground in a vast silo. And in this subterranean world, this is the description, by the way, if you haven't figured it out, rules matter. Rules keep people alive, and no rule is more strictly enforced than to never speak of going outside. The punishment is exile and death. And of course, guess what happens? People break the rules. That's what happens. So it's been renewed for seasons 3 and 4. So they will actually get a proper ending. There's 3 books, I believe, in this series. So whether you watch it or not, at least they have a plan to end it, right? I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm sure Troy will be happy about this because he's a big fan of Silo, right?
Yeah, he won't shut up about this show.
So I do appreciate that, too, where, okay, we'll renew. But, hey, we do have something, an end goal in mind.
More shows need to do that. That is the one complaint from people who watch genre shows, Netflix shows, Apple shows, whatever it is just give me an ending. If you're going to start something where there's going to be cliffhangers, there's going to be episode-to-episode mythology, have an ending. And if it's only going to be one season, just give us the extra episode to end it. Like, if you're not going to have it go on for multiple seasons, Make sure there's an ending you can tack on if ratings are bad or something. Just give us that. I don't know why they don't do it. Also, Bad Monkey caught a season 2. I love Bad Monkey. Big fan. Probably going to be in our top of the year episode because I'm going to mention it. I'll let you know. Spoiler alert. It got season 2, and that's from Scrubs creator Bill Lawrence. Follows Vince Vaughn as Andrew Yancey. He's this former detective in the Florida Keys who still solves crimes but keeps getting in his own way. I will say they are going to move from shooting on location in Florida to California because of tax incentives. So I wonder if it's going to look as similar because the Florida Keys are very kind of iconic in a way of how they look. But I hope it retains that same flavor. That was one of my favorite shows of the past year. You seen
it
yet?
I have not seen this at all.
Well, no, because
this
it's not.
This hasn't even hit my radar.
It's not on the Grey's Anatomy channel. So
whatever. The problem is that I'm too used to going to Netflix.
It's too easy for you.
It is, yeah. So if it's on Netflix, I'll watch it. I've watched a lot of really, really shitty movies from Netflix recently. So
most of their originals are not great.
Yeah,
I have to say. And honestly, I'm with you a little bit on the Netflix because I watch it more than I would like most of the time. Because honestly, it's kind of like, you ever dated somebody and you knew they were bad for you most of the time and you just kept going out with them for a while and then you finally were like, why did I do that? Then you break it off and you're like, why was I there for so long? That's how a lot of their content is these days.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. I just watched The Madness. I love Colman Domingo. He's a great actor. Go see Sing Sing. Great movie. But then this is like a media pundit who's framed for murder and da-da-da-da. And the concept is good, and there's definitely some fun there, but I should have ended at episode 4. I was done with the show, and my wife just kept going, I like it. So we kept watching it, and I haven't had so much regret in so long because that should have been a 2-hour movie, not an 8-hour show.
I stopped after the first episode.
'Cause you were bored.
And I really wanted to watch it. I really wanted to enjoy it, especially for Coleman, too, because he is a great actor, but I just could not. It was not for me.
There's a lot of good actors in there. A lot of good talent mm-hmm. in there. It just, you stretch this out far longer than it should have been.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know. You only got one episode. You pulled a meat.
It was stretched enough in one, so.
It's true. Also, well, there's one more renewal and then a boo-boo on one. If you're a Dune fan, you can get excited because Dune Prophecy is getting renewed for season 2. That follows the formation of the Bene Gesserit. And I did watch half an episode of that and said, I just noped right out of it. It was way too boring.
I actually just watched Dune 1 recently.
Just stay
away. And I'm getting ready to see Dune 2. It was actually better than I anticipated.
So. Dune 2 is great. Or not mm-hmm. great. It's much better. I like Dune 2 mm-hmm. quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's great. It won't make my top 10. Sorry, nerds. Dune 1, I did not like. I slept through most of it, I think. I mean, it's so slow.
That's fair. It is very dry and slow, but which is weird that I actually sat through it and semi-enjoyed it. So I'm excited now to see Dune 2.
Lastly, Jeff Bridges, his series, The Old Man on FX, where he's basically a former CIA agent rectifying his past, Jason Bunyan, if you will. It's been canceled after 2 seasons because they realize he's a really old man and he can't do this anymore.
Seriously, who is watching this?
I assume his kids, his grandkids, probably. I mean, it's probably fun seeing grandpa shoot people.
Oh, look at great-grandpa.
The first season was solid. It wasn't like bad. I never came. But it's one of those shows where one was good. We don't need multiple seasons of everything. Not everything needs to continue. You know, sometimes it's okay to just let it go. Kind of like that series, The Watcher. That's on Netflix, right? That they're bringing mm-hmm. that back for season 2. Why? Let it go. Just how many people are going to watch people? You know, let it go.
Yeah, one season was good. Mm-hmm.
It was. What wasn't good at one was Venom: The Last Dance, because that Venom needed 3 movies. And I mean that seriously. I really enjoyed the Venom movies. Tom Hardy returns in Venom: The Last Dance, the final film of the epic trilogy. It's been hailed by critics as a wild and exhilarating ride and a spectacular showdown you don't want to miss. You can watch Venom: The Last Dance. And right now it's available to rent or buy on digital right now. PG-13. I like the Venom movies. I got to tell you, I know the Spideyverse gets a lot of flack. I've given it some flack, but Venom is not included in there. I really enjoy the Venom flicks.
I love the first one. I don't think I saw the second one, and I've been wanting to see the third one. So,
well, you can. So do that.
Now's my time.
Now's your time. And now we're going to segue to what people want us to talk about. So in our Patreon tier, patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, we have a tier where you can subscribe and you can have us talk about a topic. So Patreon supporter Jay Howard asked us to use this as his topic for the year, and we're gonna. And this is what we're talking about. Superman. Okay. Everyone knows the trailer is out by now. If you haven't seen it, go find it. We'll put it in the show notes here or at the link at thehollywoodoutsider.com so you can watch it if you can't find it. This one was written and directed by James Gunn, starring David Cornswet, Rachel Brosnahan, Nicholas Holt. Nathan Fillion shows up. Worst haircut ever.
Unfortunately. Oh my God. It was painful.
Hang on. And others, including Will Reeve, who is Christopher Reeve's son. And he has a cameo as a TV reporter, so that's a nice touch. But the synopsis is, it follows Superman as he reconciles his heritage with his human upbringing. He is the embodiment of truth, justice, and the American way in a world that sees this as old-fashioned. Okay, so I know it's weird. We normally don't spend this much time talking about a trailer, right? But this has gotten tons of hype. For anyone, for the three people that don't know what's happened, DC Extended Universe has been revamped by James Gunn. Originally, Henry Cavill, at the end of Black Adam, was brought back seemingly, but he never actually had a contract. So he was never technically cast. But it was inferred to poor old Henry that he was getting to put the tights on again. Turns out James Gunn's like, got other plans. So they went a different route. And rather than pick other characters, they took the one that's been already rebooted a couple times. So this is basically their Spider-Man. It's kind of surprising because I don't think that Superman is nearly as popular as Spider-Man, but we'll find out, right, next year. So that's where we're at. So James Gunn recast Superman. There's a lot of new things. He brought back the Superman theme in this trailer. There's also a nice kind of a more, I don't know, Hans Zimmer-esque version of the theme on social media with the motion poster, if you can go find that. That was actually, I like that much better, but that's beside it. We'll talk about that in a second. So let's talk about it overall, and then we'll break it down a bit, if that's all right with you. Were you a fan of Superman in the past? Why or why not?
I can't say that Superman has ever been like one of my top characters. I think because in some of the cartoon iterations, it was just, you know, he was too good. And I think I like my heroes to have some potential for villain in them, maybe, I guess.
Flaws.
An anti-hero, potentially.
So and you so, like your heroes to be real assholes? Is that what you're saying?
At least a little bit, okay. You know?
A penchant for the diabolical.
Yes. And then you get Henry Cavill, who is phenomenal, right? We all really enjoyed him. And
I don't think we all did. There's definitely a lot of people who are like, didn't like him. Okay. He's stiff. He sucked. You know, whatever.
At first, I didn't like him. I didn't think he was going to be good. But he really kind of grew on me. But I can't say that the character is something that I've ever been really attached to. The only time where I was a bit more drawn to it was during the Smallville days.
Oh.
And that's just, my affinity for television and CW at that time probably had an influence on that. But this does look interesting.
You're probably still watching that show too.
Yeah. It does look interesting, but it doesn't, I can't say that it's grabbing me as much as I would have liked for it to.
Yeah, I have seen some wild differences in terms of response to the trailer. There are definitely people who absolutely adore it, absolutely love it, worship it. They're diehard Superman fans. I get it. I want them to be excited. I don't want them to be bummed by it. And then there's the more grounded in reality people that go, okay, there's some interesting stuff here. There's also some stuff that doesn't work and some stuff that is questionable. And I think those are fair assessments too. So we're going to try and touch both of them. To give you my background, definitely a diehard Spider-Man fan. I've always loved how Superman fans and I kind of run against each other in this manner, right? Because I've been frustrated with how Marvel has taken Peter Parker and kind of changed that mythology quite a bit, made him a different character, changed his background, that stuff that I think is very important. And I've been told by many people to shut up about it and just deal with it because change is good. But when they changed DC and made a little darker Superman and made him a little edgier, Superman fans were an uproar because they changed the character because they got to be, it's got to be Superman. It's got to have those stupid red trunks and everything and has to be who they perceive from the comics. So I just have never understood why I'm not allowed to have that, but Superman fans can. And so if you're one of those, I'm done listening to you if you still have that opinion, because it's ridiculous, okay? But I grew up on Christopher Reeve, Spider-Man, and George Reeves. I used to watch the show, the old show when I was a kid. I loved that show. And then Christopher Reeve really, really, really made Superman fly, if you will. And he was just such a good Clark Kent, a good Superman across the board. I mean, he really, really mastered that dual dichotomy of identity that is necessary for Superman, because that's a big part. Like, you can't just have I think that the recent TV show had this scene where Superman just took off his glasses and someone went, "Oh my God," you know, you can't have that if you really are playing a separate character. Clark Kent needs to be completely separate from Superman in many ways. And I think Christopher Reeve did a great job of making him bumbling and kind of his own character. And also, you know, his own personal legacy led to people really thinking of him as Superman. By the way, a great documentary on Max if you haven't seen it on Christopher Reeve. So then they rebooted it with Brandon Roth. I thought it was fine. At least Lex Luthor felt edgier than Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman always kind of felt a bit campy for my liking. Kevin Spacey was playing him edgier. I thought Brandon Roth was just a carbon copy of Christopher Reeve, so it was kind of generic to me. And it pissed me off that basically Superman's a deadbeat dad in that movie, so I was not a fan at all. And then Henry Cavill came, and I got to tell you, I hadn't liked Superman in a long time. He made me enjoy Superman. There was a lot more gravitas. I had issues with the movie. I had issues with Kevin Costner telling him to basically maybe you should let kids die to hide your identity. I had a real problem with Paul Kent saying that. That was messed up. And then letting him die in a tornado was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on film. But I still really love Henry Cavill as Superman. His Clark Kent wasn't great. I will be the first to admit it, because there's no way you look at his Clark Kent and not think he might be Superman. I mean, even with glasses, he looks like a big hulking stud, right? It's hard to mask that. I think he should have played that up a little bit more. But overall, so that's where I'm at. So I was not a fan of recasting Cavill. I thought Cavill deserved a proper Superman sequel. It was a matter of Zack Snyder did him no favors. It was not a matter of him. He wasn't really the problem there. And, you know, we didn't get that opportunity. So we've got this new guy. That's where I'm at. So you said this trailer didn't do much for you. I will say I enjoyed it overall. There's lots of nods to Superman of the past, both Cavill and Reeve. There's some direct nods to Snyder's movie and to Richard Donner's movie, including especially the theme. But I wasn't in awe of it. I didn't think it was like a great trailer. Honestly, kind of bummed me out that I don't even hear Lex Luthor speak. I really need to hear Lex Luthor speak because I got to see how he's playing that character.
Yeah, and that's probably the most questionable piece of it for me is Lex Luthor has to work for any of this to work.
Yeah, as we've seen
yeah,
in the past.
Nicholas Holt does look like he's able to visually embody Lex Luthor so far. But in terms of his own gravitas, right, like he has to be able to be competitive with Superman. Those are big shoes to fill. And that's the only way that this movie works. So that's my only hesitation really with it, because I think the trailer gave us, okay, there's going to be a lot of action. There's going to be a lot of emotion. We're going to meet a lot of characters, which I think has me a little bit nervous
why is nobody talking about that? You've got too many characters already. I've got too many in the trailer.
It's insane.
Yeah. Too many. I'm sure he'll make it work.
I had to watch an entire YouTube video just to get all of the characters that were identified in there. So it's a lot, and I'm worried about how that's going to work in here, if that's going to feel overwhelming when we're trying to reattach to this new version of Superman. Mm-hmm. So that would be my biggest hesitation with it. But I mean, in terms of like a trailer, it was a great trailer. It had the spectacular of it, and it had, or the spectacle of it.
It was like spectacular. The spectacular of it. It's the early spectacle. For you.
Yes, it is. So yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just kind of have to see. I think the casting is great though.
I do agree with that. Let's just jump into there and we'll start there. Okay. So it opens on Superman beaten and disheveled, right? He needs help. And we'll get to his helper last because you got to end on a good boy. So this portion and the getting hit in the head with a can scene all seem like nods to Snyder, because that is a scene directly from one of his movies. And other nods go to Donner. I talked about that. And then still others are just from the comics, which is great. There are hopeful moments with Pa Kent and Lois, and sadder ones like when he's holding a dying robot who looks like Kalex from the comics, I believe. It was like his robot nanny. When it comes to David Cornsweet, as I hope I'm saying that, but I'm sure I'll have a different version of that pronunciation by the time the movie comes out. Do you think he looks the part both as Clark and Superman? Remember, Clark is supposed to not really look like Superman. So do you think he, because they show both versions.
Yeah, I like him in both areas of it. I think he is able to get away with being nerdy just barely because he's still a very gorgeous human being.
He's almost a hot nerd though, right? He's like hot
exactly,
nerd.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's pulling it off where he still is able to get away with it just barely. But in the Superman moments, I feel a lot of, you know, that strength and passion and emotion coming from him. I think it's really just going to be a matter of when we see him go up against Lex Luthor, what that dynamic looks like. That's, to me, that is where you have the biggest power, strength, struggle to look at. And that's the moment where I really determine, okay, who is the big bad here? And if one of them is weaker than the other, it'll be quick to notice.
And what's funny about that, because I don't know if Lex is going to be the ultimate bad guy. I know he'll be one of the, you know, there's a lot of characters here. So who ends up being the ultimate?
They are, but Gunn villain. Keeps going back to saying that Luthor is the villain of this movie.
He does, yeah. But when you have that many characters, I have to wonder, is there going to be more going on? He's just not letting on to it. Maybe that's my conspiracy theorist at heart. I don't know.
I mean, at some point it has to. Otherwise, what the hell is the purpose of bringing in like 12 different superheroes? Like, this is out of control for a first movie. At the very least, we have to acknowledge James Gunn is doing some ridiculous shit right out the gun. The gate, not the gun.
Right out the gun.
I promise you, my brain is still not fully back with me yet.
I like it, right out of the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, he gets a pass because he's made a lot of films with large casts that worked, right? So I will give him somewhat of a, I'll wait to judge that part of it. But I do got to say, if anyone else came, if Zack Snyder was making this movie and had this exact same trailer, people would be freaking out because there's way too many characters and he's going to screw this up and it's too much going on. It's going to be another Justice League problem, da 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 da. But no one apparently is concerned about that. I have reservations. James Gunn is the only reason why I'm letting those reservations kind of pass. I really like the look of David Cornsweet. I think he actually really does look the part in both instances. Now, I haven't heard him much other than saying, take me home. But I have seen the look of how he presents Clark. And I think if he's got that look completely separate, maybe he's going to have a completely different personality for that too. And I think that could definitely work. I really do think in terms of his look and feel for the character, he's got it. Now, I've seen him in Twisters and I haven't seen him in a lot of other things. And he was good. Didn't impress me. Didn't blow me away or anything. But he's good. I'm going to rely on James Gunn, who says he's great in this. I'll have to rely on that until we actually see more from a trailer. But I think I'm okay with this casting. I'm still Miss Cavill, but this guy's not bad. You know, he's good.
Yeah, anything that I've seen him in, he's been good in. And I think it's so different, though, when you take someone from any other type of movie and transition them into this big blockbuster superhero mm-hmm. role, you're hopefully going to see a transformation that you've never even seen from them before. And so if he's been good in things, you know, in previous roles, hopefully under, you know, experience, direction and guidance, then we'll see even more from him. But I, so far in the trailer, I like him a lot. It's just, it's letting go, right? Like, it's letting go of the idea of who we might want those characters to be played by, because we're so attached to them still.
Speaking of letting go, let's talk about the suit. So Zack Snyder revamped the Superman suit, and of course some people freaked out, but they were fine with Iron Spider, whatever. So the red trunks are back. Now, Zack Snyder got rid of them. He famously said he couldn't make the red trunks cool. I personally agree with him. I don't like the red trunks here either. I've never liked them, even in the comics. When I read the comics, I've always thought, why is he wearing his underwear on the outside? It's weird. I don't understand it. You know, I've had a lot of fashion choices over my life. The 80s were a wild time. Still never wore underwear on the outside. So I don't understand quite how this works. But people say that that's something you can't change. So in terms of the suit, do you like the suit? I don't. You?
I don't care at all. I do not give a shit. I don't. To me, it does not matter if your pants are inside, outside, red, blue, purple, white, whatever floats your boat. I mean, I get people are attached to like the traditional classic comic book style, right? I get it. But there's times where variations happen, so I also get that. But I'm not mad by it. I'm not bothered by it. I think I just don't care enough, though.
One thing I should point out, there's been a lot of people online saying, well, Henry Cavill didn't have to wear a muscle suit. Like, he filled his suit out. This guy doesn't look like he fills his suit out. Well, his suit is not wearing a muscle pad underneath. Henry Cavill, even Henry Cavill, who doesn't really need one, wore muscle alignments in his suit. So he always looked like he was Superman. So there is a difference there. That was a choice. I personally think it looks better for Superman to look completely ripped at all times, but you know, we'll see how this thing plays out. I just don't like underwear on the outside. I think it looks ridiculous, and I really like the sleekness of how Henry Cavill's was. But, you know, I'm with you. It's not going to make or break a movie. Other than the whole movie, you're going to be like, God, will you tuck your underwear in or something? Like, pull your pants up. So, Rachel Brosnahan is Lois Lane. Don't get anything from her, but I've seen Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She is great in that. I have zero doubt she'll be a great Lois Lane.
I love her, so okay. I'm excited that she's in this. And I can't wait to see how her chemistry with his ends up working out, because you have to be able to sell that love relationship. It's a very critical part to the Superman story.
It is. And they're already in one when this starts, so it's no origin story. Thank the Lord. In case anybody's wondering, no origin story. He's already Superman. Things are already in motion. Good. I don't want that again. Nicholas Holt, we already kind of talked about him, but I just want to come back to him. So I've recently seen him in a couple things, and most importantly, Juror Number 2, which I talked about on our last original episode. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a really, really damn good movie, and he's really good in it. Like, he is a talented actor. The thing I haven't seen him play, though, is villain. And I don't know how he's going to be as a villain. I do know that he was up for Superman, and it was between him and David Corenswet. So, which that I can't see, personally. I think that's an easy choice. But to have him cast as Lex Luthor, I think that's genius, because the whole time he's going to be looking at that other dude like, I want to kill you because you took the job I could have had.
Right.
He's going to rage at him. The thing is I need to hear him talk, because I will say visually he looks just like Jesse Eisenberg, and that's not a positive. That scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not fair, but it's a truth.
It's just that I think that they just don't have menacing personalities enough for that character.
That's what he's got to bring out, right? He's got to show that menacing edge that he needs, because he's always playing nice guys, always kind of friendly and kind.
He's playing not as nice guys, but yeah, primarily his roles are tailored to that. So
what do you think about the theme? So the guitar riff theme that they have, that's like a revamped version of the original John Williams Superman theme. I feel like it sounds like Eric Draven on a rooftop strumming the Top Gun theme, but
okay.
Not a fan myself. I did not like it. Maybe I'm just a little too OG on that. I think the original theme could have been just modernized a little better without it sounding almost like, I don't know, Poison was playing it.
I think it was just done for theatrics, for it to be a bigger thing.
Just for the trailer?
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to be the actual theme?
I don't think so. Okay. I think that's just because it is really good trailer music. Like, if you think about that in a theater. Is it?
I feel like I should be doing cocaine off a stripper's back with that song playing.
There's also maybe that too, but either way. But no, I do think that at some point they have to have, you know, a more authentic, modernized version.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about some of these sightings, because there's 400 characters that you find in this trailer, and I'm not even hitting all of them. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of world building, apparently. So we do get a look at the Fortress of Solitude and the Daily Planet, where you see, you know, where Clark shows up, Lois, Jimmy Olsen, Steve Lombard, Cat Grant. They all work there. Wendell Pierce is Perry White. He's the editor in chief, of course. Any thoughts on any of that?
No, I don't have thoughts on a lot of this except for Nathan Fillion.
There's nothing there that's new. It's all pretty much how it's looked before. I really didn't see anything fabulous there. Pruitt Taylor Vince shows up as Pa Kent, and I'm sure he's not going to tell his son to let school kids die, which is always a positive. It looks like a very moving moment. I like that casting. It feels more genuine than, I don't know, Kevin Costner, I guess. I like that casting.
Yeah, and it's less, I don't know, big name.
Yes, yeah. It's not Russell Crowe again. Or something crazy. Okay, this is what you want to talk about. So Nathan Fillion, one of your favorite actors.
Dear God.
Right? One of your favorite actors. He is in a comic-appropriate, horrid haircut as Guy Gardner.
It should be a little bit more orange if we're going true to comic,
I think they got away from it, too. I don't even think they do this haircut anymore. But so he's a Green Lantern, and apparently he's arrogant and cocky, and he's going to show up in the Lantern's HBO Max series as well. You don't get much from him, but what do you think? Do you hate it? It sounds like you hate
it. Oh my God. It is literally the ugliest super blonde bowl cut I've ever seen in my life. The first thing that I thought about is Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 when they started, they had a music video where they dressed up and he had a blonde wig on. And I'm like, this is just as bad, if not worse. This was tragically embarrassing for Nathan Fillion.
It wasn't great.
It's true to like how the character kind of looks. Like, it's a pretty short bowl cut that the character has. But I feel like now this just makes it too comedic. Like, I want there to be more serious in my Superman. I'm afraid it's going to get too comedy.
I mean, he can play this. The character sounds like a variation of Mal, right? From Firefly, which is what he's known most for. I think Nathan Fillion can play that character. I have no doubt about that. It is a problem with him, though, because his face just makes me want to laugh. You know?
I just mean, like, not in a bad way. I feel like James Gunn is going to make this movie too comedic than what I want.
I think he's gonna take it serious. You don't think so? I mean, there's a lot of seriousness going on. A lot of people, a lot of Superman getting his ass kicked and looking sad, like he's losing.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot of stuff that looked like Man of Steel. I'm just saying, when it came out with Man of Steel and he had those pain faces, everybody's like, you can't have Superman, he's gotta be hopeful and smiling all the time.
Yeah, definitely not that.
If you don't know what a Green Lantern is, by the way, they're like superheroes that have this cosmic ring of power thing that brings imagination to life, essentially. It's wild. We're going to get more of them because they're coming out in the series with Aaron Pierre, and he's going to be great as a Green Lantern. So, okay. Anthony Carrigan from Barry. Yeah, NoHo Hank is here as Metamorpho. Yeah, I know. He's great. Love it. Like he's really stretching. Because Metamorpho can, like rubber. And he can turn into liquids or gases. He can gain rock-like strength. I don't know this character much. I know him a little from the comics. Cool. There's not much to see here except his face. And I feels like too many characters that were thrown out there.
Way too many. We've barely even touched the surface.
Yeah, there's even more. There's more. Hang on, people. There's a nod to Stagg Industries in one of the scenes, which was run by a billionaire jackass named Simon Stagg. In the comics, his daughter Sapphire kind of falls in love with Rex Mason, who is Metamorpho before he turns. Simon plays a big part in changing Rex into Metamorpho. So I don't know. Is there going to be like an origin story here for everyone? I don't know how that's going to work. Then we have Eddie Gathegi as Mr. Terrific. I know Eddie from the Blacklist series when we covered that. Yeah, he's a very fun actor. He can make, like, there's a lot of writing on that show where it shouldn't be as fun as it was. He made it fun. He's a very fun actor. I look forward to what he does with Mr. Terrific. And Mr. Terrific, the character, is one of the smartest people ever and a genius at invention. So I got excited for that.
There's a lot you can do with a character like that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tony Stark it up, you know? Isabella Merced is Hawk Girl. She's got wings and a mace. That's cool, I guess. She doesn't do anything in the trailer except fly around with a little mace. So I'm sure they're all going to come together and fight some big bad at some point or help Superman, etc. Oh, and the WB, they really want that crossover money because Daenerys shows up on a freaking dragon. I mean, it's not actually Daenerys, but there is a fire-breathing beast of some sort. It's either from the Kong movies or it's from Game of Thrones. I don't know.
Yep.
But that was unexpected. I did not expect to see a dragon-looking thing.
A giant kaiju.
I didn't expect that. Kind of surprised.
Yeah, and Superman's just standing in that, floating in the air, trying to fight this giant kaiju in the middle of the city. I'm like, what the is going on?
Yeah. Here's what I don't want. This is what kind of bothers me or worries me about the trailer. You're worried about too many characters. As a fair concern, I'm worried about yet another blowing up the city spectacle final set piece that we've had a billion times mm-hmm. in comic book movies, and people are sick of those. They're sick of them. You know, that's what's causing a lot of this superhero burnout. And it still exists. I really don't think that's changed much. And then finally, we get to the best boy of the entire trailer. Crypto. And I gotta say, if this is any other filmmaker, I would really hate this idea. I would probably hurl over the idea of adding a dog with a cape flying around because that just sounds ridiculous. But he's here. Crypto, Superman's dog. But James Gunn, I think, can make any animal work. I think I'm gonna love Crypto. What do you think?
I think everyone's gonna love Crypto. And I heard something about how Crypto has the potential to be like terrifying or something. So I'm curious about that and seeing Crypto's powers.
I think it's more of he's not as domesticated as you would like him to be, you know.
You got an
unruly super pet running around.
I love it. I'm excited for it. And for all the people who are probably immediate naysayers, this was in the comics from a very long time ago.
Yeah, it's been there for
a while. So it's an authentic thing. It's not like they're just trying to pull dogs out of their butt and put them into movies.
And honestly, that was the biggest win over on the whole trailer. So that was genius on his part. Because
it was amazing.
Yeah, that was the way you do it right there. Crypto, take me home.
I'm sure that's going to be what we all cry over too.
You know what's funny is if Crypto was a cat, he'd die out there. That's the truth.
The other character to kind of look out for that we saw briefly in the trailer is Superman was holding this robot that looks to have been hurt or destroyed or something. And then it's a very emotionally intense scene. And that's him with this robot, Kellex, it looks to be anyway, which was a butler for the Fortress of Solitude. And so one of the few emotionally impactful individuals or things for Superman, and that reminds him basically of home, is this Kellex robot. And so that is also featured in this trailer.
Just don't mess with Crypto, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, do it. No, mm-mm. That would be terrible.
If you feed him kryptonite, I'm going to be pissed. All right, let's move on. But before we do, you can bring home Gladiator 2 on digital now. And guess who's starring in that? Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal, Paul Mescal, and Connie Nielsen star in the action-packed epic. You can buy the film critics are now calling one of the most entertaining films of the year and get over an hour of next-level extras, including deleted scenes, featurettes, and more. It's available at participating retailers. It's rated R from Paramount Pictures, and I got to say, there's a lot of thrills going into that movie. And some naval battles in the Colosseum, which are wild.
I love me some Denzel, and I love me some Pedro. So this is on my list of things to watch over the next week.
And Paul Mescal is funny, too. I mean, he's very good in the role, but he's funny. He did a Saturday Night Live skit where they actually did a musical version of Gladiator 2.
Oh, really?
And it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. But what's not hilarious is Blake Lively's situation with her career as of late. And she is finally taking action, apparently, because Blake Lively has filed a legal complaint, which is a precursor to a lawsuit in California, against her director, Justin Baldoni, of It Ends With Us, which was a massive hit in the summer, accusing him of sexual harassment and astroturfing. Do you know what astroturfing is?
I do not. I was going to Google it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to save you the trouble. It means the deceptive practice of presenting an orchestrated marketing or public relations campaign in the guise of unsolicited comments from members of the public. Faking commentary. Trying to bury her, essentially. That's what she's suing him over, right? So many of her cast and crew have come out in support of Blake Lively, and even the book's author, Colleen Hoover, supported Blake publicly. And Justin Baldoni was dropped as a client of WME shortly after this complaint was filed. Should add, in his defense, Baldoni, through his lawyer, Brian Friedman, said that the allegations were completely false, outrageous, and intentionally salacious with an intent to publicly hurt and rehash a narrative in the media. Now, if you don't remember this, or if you didn't pay attention to it, and we don't do gossip here, but this is a formal lawsuit, and it's interesting because of how disinformation or misinformation is going around these days, right? So back when It Ends With Us came out, there was this kind of smear campaign where Blake Lively wasn't following Justin Baldoni on social media. People pick up on this very quickly. The social media guys or the detectives are all over it. And Brian Reynolds had blocked him sometime before this, which was apparently some concern to the Baldoni people. And apparently the lawsuit is alleging that what they did was Justin Baldoni was trying to get ahead of things because there was this big sexual harassment meeting prior to the movie's release, or while they were filming the movie, saying that he had to stop doing certain things. And he was concerned that if that ever came out, it would hurt his reputation. So he's trying to get ahead of it by kind of launching an under the wire smear campaign to kind of boost him and lower her. That's the allegation. And what she said, or what her lawyer said, is Mrs. Lively never sought out conflict with Wayfarer, which is the production company, Mr. Baldoni or Mr. Heath, but instead consistently attempted to speak up for a safe and respectful workplace privately in the hopes of protecting herself, as well as the cast and crew, without jeopardizing a film that she believed could make a difference in people's lives. In response, Mr. Baldoni, Mr. Heath, who's one of the other producers, and those working for them sought to destroy Miss Lively and anyone else who knew the truth. Miss Lively's discovery, the full extent of the retaliatory campaign launched by the Wayfarer parties, has left her with no choice. Through this complaint, Miss Lively seeks to set the record straight, to hold the Wayfarer parties and associates accountable, and to shine a light on this new form of retaliation so that it will not be used against any others who seek to stand up and speak out against sexual harassment. Do you have thoughts on any of this?
Yeah, I have lots of thoughts
on it. Legally careful thoughts here, because it's all allegations. Legally careful
thoughts. If you read through the allegation list, the thing that I think most people will find is, well, that's not too bad. That's not really that bad in terms of some of the criteria that was being asked, not the conduct that was being asked to cease. And if you look at it, though, in the terms of this is a workplace, this is a business, these are people here for employment, that is not stuff you can say in the workplace. That's not stuff you can say in general in today's society. You don't get to talk about people's genitalia like it's the 80s. Things are different. Times have changed. I think what this is...
Yeah, somebody's like, man, I miss the 80s right now, you know?
Yeah. I feel like more than anything, this is someone who's, how do I put it, tried to use maybe their legal means in the workplace to say this is not comfortable, this is not appropriate. And he probably didn't agree with what that could mean, because it is no longer just, well, I didn't like that. Well, in some states, it doesn't take a whole lot for it to be something serious, I guess is what I'll say.
Yeah, and I'm not assigning guilt to either party, but I will tell you, like, there was a lot of smear against Blake Lively in the media, or on social media. It wasn't in the media, it was in social media, coming out when this movie came out. I mean, there was a lot of it. And if you just listen to a lot of it, then you just apparently thought Blake Lively was a terrible person. I have no idea. I don't know her. But many of her former crew, Paul Feig, came out, who I have a lot of respect for, Paul Feig, and he said she's a delight. She's a very kind and gentle person. Her sisterhood of the Trailing Pants came out on her behalf. A lot of other former cast and crew have come out on her behalf. Now, I don't know Baldoni either. I don't know him, so I can't speak to either one of them. But I do think that if any of this were the case, then yes. Number one, you shouldn't even have to have these conversations in this day and age. Like, seriously, it's how old are we? We shouldn't even be having these conversations, especially on a film. Look, I haven't seen the movie, but I know what the topic is. You've seen the movie. It's really about domestic violence and right, sexual exploitation in some way.
Yep.
To me, that seems like you would even take it more seriously. You know what I mean? Because of the subject matter, you would be even more conscious of it. And he's presented himself as kind of like this ambassador to men being better. Now, I don't know if that's because of he was worried about this fallout or what, or if that's genuinely something he believes in. I don't know. I don't know the man. I'm not speaking for him. But here are the things that she said were requested at the time, that just some of them, right? No more showing nude videos or images of women, including producer's wife, to Blake Lively and her employees.
Fair request.
Fair. Yeah, let's go down. You tell me if these are fair requests or not. No more mention of Mr. Baldoni's or Mr. Heath's previous pornography addictions, or yep, Blake Lively's fair lack of pornography consumption to Blake Lively or her other crew members. No more discuss. These are things that I'm okay with this so far. Mm-hmm. No more discussions to Blake Lively, and let's call her BL because it's easier, and that's how they reference her, to her or her employees about personal experiences with sex. No more mention to BL and her employees of personal times that physical consent was not given in sexual acts as either the abuser or the abused. Don't want to know more about that one.
I don't. Yeah, no. Seems fair.
No more description of their own genitalia to BL.
Yeah. Ew. I think we're good. We don't need to know that you have out a no quarter inch.
No more jokes or disparaging comments to be made to BL or her employees about HR complaints Wayfair has already received on set, or about missing the HR meeting. You can't do that. Not great. No more inquiries by Mr. Baldoni to BL trainer without her knowledge or consent to disclose her weight.
That's weird.
He made the comment that he was concerned because he had a bad back and he had to carry her at some point. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. Maybe remove the carrying part from the scene, I guess, if it's that big a concern. Get a stunt guy.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
No more mention by Mr. Baldoni of him speaking to BL's dead father. That is the most interesting one.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, hey, I talked to your dad, your dead dad. What?
There's some other ones too, where it's like,
and then a bunch of other creepy ones. That's enough. But a lot of, no more adding of, like, sex scenes, oral sex, or on-camera climaxing by BL outside of the scope of the script that she already approved.
So what that implies to me is that there had been a request or an attempt to potentially, I'll say, from what I interpret from this, to add some of those scenes and sequences which she had not previously vetted in the script and agreed to, but he was trying to add them on more impromptu, which I get that too. Fair. I didn't sign up for that shit. We're here for what I said I would be here for.
Yeah. That's a lot. Now, what I will, the reason why it's an interesting topic, it's horrible, right? No matter however this unfolds, it's all up to courts now at this point. If what she alleges is true, that's terrible. That basically, because you allegedly acted improperly, you're going to try to smear her name so you look better. And you know this happens all the time. It happens in politics all the time. It happens all the time. That's a horrible situation to be in. Just terrible.
Yeah, and it sounds like he, if all this is true, then he would very much deserve that lawsuit.
Sure, if it's true. She's got to go to court and prove that. And, you know, we're not a jury. I'm not going to be one of those podcasts where we just say, oh, yeah, this is true or this isn't true. I don't know. But I will say it takes, I think Blake Lively knows that this is probably something she has to do to regain her reputation. And that's the only reason that she would do it, because I know she and her husband, Ryan Reynolds, are both smart enough to know that just filing a lawsuit could hurt them too.
Yeah, if it's proven to be not true from their end. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would be huge. It would be huge. Now, the one thing I hope is that maybe this could lead to less disinformation campaigns on all fronts. And I think that would be a positive.
Yeah. I mean, that would require society to
pay attention.
Yeah.
Actually do research. Don't just look on somebody else's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. All of the above.
Okay. And there was even more after we recorded that. So I'm just going to add this. Then we can get back into the conversation, because apparently the news won't stop coming about this thing. So in regards to Justin Baldoni, a publicist now says, although we were prepared, we didn't have to do anything over the top to protect our client. They're saying what the cherry-picked messages don't include, including our, not shockingly, as it doesn't fit the narrative, is that it was no quote-unquote smear implied. No negative press was ever facilitated. No social combat plan, although we were prepared for it, as it's our job to be ready for any scenario. But we didn't have to implement anything because the internet was doing the work for us. I don't know if that makes it better or not, but that's what the PR team said. And then furthermore, my God, it won't stop. So Justin Baldoni apparently does a podcast called the Man Enough Podcast. Oddly enough, I wasn't invited. I guess, well, that says it all, right? But author and journalist Liz Plank, who was a co-host on that podcast, is distancing herself from the podcast, saying, and I quote, "I'm writing to you today to let you know that I have had my representatives inform Wayfair that I will no longer be co-hosting the Man Enough podcast. Thank you for trusting me with your hearts and stories, for holding space for mine, and for making this show what it was. I will miss you, the listeners, so much. I love what this community created together with every fiber of my being, and that's because of you." Wow. I mean, Amanda and Troy and John have never left me. That's all I'm saying. And then it ends with us actor Brandon Sklenar said, I hope I said that right. I apologize if I didn't. He is on Team Lively in regards to the complaint. So, whew, that is a lot. Again, I want to stress, you know, this is a complaint. It's not a settled litigation or anything like that. So I'm sure there's more to both sides of this, but I think it's pretty obvious Blake Lively is taking control of her narrative and saying, I'm done with this. We're going to right this ship. What I think is most important is what we already talked about. This disinformation campaign existence potentially is just kind of showing you how marketing is changing in the current entertainment environment. I think we should be paying attention to that. But let's get back into a more enjoyable conversation, because we need to do some recommendations, right? Why don't you tell me something that you've seen recently that you think is either worth recommendation or worth staying away from?
Well, one of the movies that I know you've seen as well is Carry On from Netflix with Jason Bateman.
And Taron Egerton.
And Taron Egerton, mm-hmm. But we care a lot about Jason Bateman.
Okay.
I know you had your feelings and thoughts with the logistics and feasibility of it.
Well, tell people what it is first so they know what the movie is.
Oh, yeah. Basically, there's a criminal mastermind who's played by Jason Bateman, and he's trying to get Taron Egerton's character, who works for TSA, to allow a piece of luggage to go through. And clearly, there's something not good in there, right? That's all we need to know.
It's what I like to call a diehard algorithm movie. Christmas, yeah. Action, oh no, violence. It's a diehard algorithm movie.
Yeah. I thought it was still enjoyable and fun, though. Don't get me wrong. I know it wasn't, like, it's not this year's best film by any scope of imagination, but it was still a fun at-home watch.
That's your take?
That's my take.
So you enjoyed it? I thought quite a bit?
Yeah.
How in-depth do you want me to...
Go ahead.
How deep do you want me to get on the... This movie's ridiculous.
You have so many feelings from being, like, flying constantly.
Yeah, I travel a lot. Now, look, I love Spider-Man. I can suspend disbelief, all right? I have no problem with it. It's however the movie presents the world. The movie is presenting the world like a regular airport, and like this is an actual TSA agent. And I'm sorry, none of this would happen in the world. Number one, it's Christmas Eve, and apparently no one's working anywhere in the airport, one of the busier days of the year. No one's working to the entire airport. There are people running to the baggage areas. There are thousands of bags and no people. Like, there's no one apparently watching these bags. So they're all over the place. What?
Aaron, they had call-ins. Have you never had a bad staffing day?
Okay.
It's Christmas Eve. Of course people don't go to work.
Give me a freaking break. There are so many lapses in logic. This TSA agent, Taron Egerton, literally gets so many people killed. He is terrible at his job. He's a terrible person. He's picking his girlfriend, who is really stiff. Sophia Carson is his girlfriend. She is not good. I do not find her to be captivating, other than she's pretty to look at. She was really, I was like, go ahead, shoot her. I don't think that's really going to hurt the movie any. And then that's not a great place to be. There's a scene where there's a sight set on someone's head. I won't spoil when or where, but it's impossible to actually get in that location and get that shot. There's a guy in a van out in the frickin' lanes with a headshot while the woman is sitting, they're standing sideways to the door. How does that work?
I saw that and I almost died.
Is there a reflection in the mirror that he's bouncing his shot off of? It doesn't make any goddamn sense. The whole movie is ridiculous and ludicrous, even by suspension of disbelief standards. Like, none of that could actually happen. None of it. And that's why it was frustrating. The sad part is Jason Bateman was great. Even though he runs around an entire airport with a gun and he's beating the shit out of people left, he beats the shit out of this guy like three times. He's constantly beating the shit out of him.
He's taking people out left and right.
All over the place, and no one notices. I travel a lot for personal reasons and work. There are cameras everywhere. Jason Bateman walking by this guy would be a trigger, like when someone dies. There are so many indications that he should have been busted, but he's still running around the airport, and he's got a gun, and he's got, you know, kicking the shit out of this Taron Egerton every chance he gets. It drove me nuts. It drove me nuts as someone who travels a lot. I have a hard time with the movie. And the whole ending is so stupid. And I can't get over how stupid the ending is. What? Number one, LAPD can't ground flights.
Don't spoil it.
LAPD can't ground flights. They're federal. It's federal. You can't ground flights if you're a cop in LAPD. You just can't. I'm not spoiling. I'm just letting you know.
Maybe they have friends in the FAA or whatever it's called.
They don't do favors grounding flights. They just don't do it. And also, whatever happens in that scene is so dumb. You're putting so many lives at risk. It's so, like, I just, oh my God. Woosa. And by the way, he almost fails multiple times. He is no hero. He should be arrested before Jason Bateman at this point. I think he's worse than him as a criminal by the end of this movie. It's terrible.
That is about how annoyed I was with Subservience on Netflix.
Was that bad?
It was so stupid. There were so many very dumb plot lines.
Megan Fox is like a sexy robot or something?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Okay. So she's basically in the movie. What happens is AI has evolved. This guy, he works for a construction site. All of his crew is replaced by robots. He is the only one who gets to stay because they need one person who's like a real human. And his wife has cancer, and so, or a heart condition. She needs a heart transplant, not cancer.
Aww.
And so, because of her health stuff, they're like doing him a solid and keeping him a job, whatever. And then he ends up needing his own little robot to help around the house and to help with the kids because of all this stuff going on with his wife. And so he gets this super hot robot, and it's Megan Fox. And then the robot starts to basically kind of like rewire her code.
Oh.
And falls in love with him. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to fucking take over your life, boy. Great. And he's like, but hold on,
stalker
I'm
robot?
Married. Well, kind of, but
is it cheating if it's a robot? I don't think it's cheating if it's a robot.
So that's the question. So this is the question that everybody has right now, right?
Yeah.
My answer is yes. You still, if you're going to put it in a robot, you're still putting it in a robot.
But it's not a person. It's just
a
robot.
It don't matter.
I think you're free and clear. I'm giving you a pass. I think you get a hall pass on that.
I don't think so.
I do. Free and clear.
I don't think so.
And it looks like Megan Fox.
Then it becomes very disastrous. Yeah, that's why. See, this is where rule number one, if you allow your husband to buy a robot, you don't let him buy the hot one.
Get an ugly robot.
Like, there's even a line in there where the wife is like, I thought you were getting the ugly butler.
Get a Mama Fratelli from the Goonies robot. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, there was so much that was really stupid in it. And they had, I mean, Megan Fox, she was great. Don't get me wrong. And it wasn't just because she was a robot, because I heard some jokes about that on the internet. But her character, she is kind of going between a couple in here and personalities. And I think she does a nice job of making it seem like this robot is developing humanistic traits or feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually does a good job.
I mean, so she has to pretend to have no emotion, be hot, and sexy. That's her role.
But then start to develop the emotion. Start to develop the emotion.
Oh.
Okay.
Little by little.
Because now she seems more human. She's more human than we thought.
I still think it's a pass.
Just a sci-fi drama.
You know what? I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary fights in that movie. That's what I'm guessing. You just got to accept it. It's okay. It's all right.
I started watching Red One, but I didn't finish it.
I like Red One. That was in the theater. It didn't do so well in the theater, but now it's a huge hit on Prime Video, where you've got Santa Claus being kidnapped and The Rock has to team up with Captain America to go save him. I think that's fun. There's a lot of creativity in that, I thought. So I hope you enjoy it when you do finish it. I saw Mufasa the Lion King, which tells the origin story of Mufasa by way of Timon and Pumbaa and Rafiki telling the story to Simba's cub, Kira, I think, and how he came to become the king, his relationship with Scar, how the infamous Rock Point came to be. It's like Batman Begins with Cats. I thought it was okay. Songs are okay. I think Mads Mikkelsen sings a song called Bye Bye, which I thought was pretty catchy. But outside of that, I did not think this was a very good movie. The first hour is so boring. Nothing happens. And then the second hour is really just the whole movie trying to establish things you already know. Like, how did Scar get a scar? How did that rock where he holds Simba over the edge, how did that come to be? Like, that has to be in there for some reason.
Oh.
It's I didn't enjoy it that much. But I give it $5.
That's sad.
Kids will like it. I think it's cute enough. What I did like, and I'm ashamed to say, almost, I liked Kraven the Hunter quite a bit. I really kind of loved it.
I can't believe this.
Me either. I went in and wanting to hate it. I went in hate watching that one. I'm like, this is going to suck. Why are you going to have a Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man again? This is stupid. This is one of the best villains in what? It is not Kraven the Hunter from the comics. As long as you can check that box and put that to the side, it's a fun movie. Aaron Taylor Johnson has nothing but swagger. And he is this badass, vicious hunter of men the world has never actually seen. And then things go sideways when this foe known as the Rhino decides it's time to join in on the hunt, and Kraven's brother is kind of in the mix, and his dad comes back into play. Ariana DeBose is this accomplice of sorts named Calypso. It's really a fun and bloody movie, and if it wasn't called Kraven the Hunter, if it was called, I don't know, Quicksilver the Hunter, I think it would be very, very good. It just, unfortunately, because it's attached to Spider-Man and it's its own thing, people already wanted to hate it. But what I did notice, I looked at this today, if you go look at the critical score, and I gave it a positive review, so I'm one of the 15% positive on the score for critics. But if you look at the audience score, it's like 73% last time I looked, which means people that actually go to see it are enjoying it. So I'm not wrong. I don't think I'm crazy. I think it was actually like really enjoyable. It just, unfortunately, that Spideyverse backlash from all these villain movies that haven't worked is kind of against them. I should also mention No Good Deed, I think, is a very good show. Not enough people are talking about it. I don't care if it's in the top 10 of Netflix. That happens all the time. But it's Lisa Kudrow and Ray Romano as this married couple who lost their son a few years earlier and are trying to sell their house. And there's a lot of secrets from all these people that are looking at the house. And it ends up being like this kind of cool murder mystery, quirky dark comedy situation, which I found very fun. Dexter Original Sin I can't believe you haven't seen this yet. You're a huge Dexter fan, but it's actually pretty enjoyable showing how Dexter came to be. I didn't need an origin story, but I got one, and I'm okay with it. And then Eden Lake, which is a movie I'd never seen before. It's on Prime. Came out in... No Good Deed is on Netflix. Dexter Original Sin is on Paramount with Showtime. And then Eden Lake is on Prime. I had never seen this. It's got Kelly Riley from Tombstone, right? And Michael Fassbender.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like a couple who go... They're in England, and they go to this very private lake. And this is before... this is 2008, I think. So it's an older movie, but it's a really vicious, savage kind of horror movie that is dark as hell. And I will probably never rewatch it, but I really enjoyed watching it the first time. Kind of like got that I Spit on Your Grave vibes. Like it's that kind of dark. And they go there.
I'm just looking it up right now.
Yeah. They run into some kids, like some punk ass kids, and things go sideways very fast. And it's just like a survival tale. It's good. I really enjoyed it. And I'd never heard of this. Eden Lake. I had never heard of this. So if you're looking for a fun horror watch you've never heard of, I think that's a good recommendation. Anything else from you before we get out of here?
No, but I hope to see Sonic 3 soon.
I can't believe you haven't seen this yet.
I know. Well, so there was an impromptu surgery for my pup, in a good way. I just happened to get him in with 3 hours notice to get a neutering appointment. So it changed a lot of my plans.
Yeah, it's great for you. Maybe not him.
No, it sucks for him.
Is he just like laying next to a mirror looking at an empty space and his parts?
The saddest part is when he starts to walk. He'll walk a couple of steps and then he'll sit down. He'll like thud his butt down on the ground and then he'll look at me like, what did you do? Why did you do this?
It's so sad. Tough. I mean, I get it. If somebody just went and... If when I was a kid, my mom cut mine off, I would have been pissed too. It's not great.
I mean, yeah, it sucks, but it'll be good for him. And I just keep telling him you get to go to the dog park now.
I'm sure he's listening.
That's your reward.
I'm sure he's listening. All he's doing is thinking of all those times he was humping trees or whatever. I used to do that.
He wasn't a crazy big humper. He did hump a little bit, but.
Oh, poor guy. Poor guy. Well, good. Go watch Sonic. It's actually conquering the box office. But
I'm hearing amazing things about it from people that have seen it.
Crushing Mufasa. Crushing it at the box office. And that's even after Disney, I think, had a great year, their biggest year since pre-COVID. $2 billion worldwide and $5 billion worldwide, $2 billion domestic, which is awesome.
It helps when you have Iger leading the charge.
Bob Iger knows what he's doing, man. He's got it down. And Mufasa will make up some. I mean, it didn't start great, but it'll make up some Christmas money once you get families going.
And then you got Wicked coming out Christmas Day with its sing-along thing.
I don't know if that's going to bring in a ton of people, but do you want to go to that showing? Would you like to go to a
sing-along? No.
Okay.
No, I'm actually really mad because I want to go see it in like Dolby, but I don't want the sing-along version.
You should.
But that's the dedicated, they're dedicating it to the...
Is that every version or is that going to be certain ones? It's not going to be all of them, right?
Oh, I don't know.
There's still going to be versions you can see where they're not
singing
around.
I'm sure.
It's just going to be very, very confusing for people. Like, can I sing in this one?
Please don't.
It'll be popular. Yeah. You don't even know what the song is yet. Too bad. Mm-mm. You're missing out. Nosferatu should be out by the time you hear
this.
I
want to see that one too. Yep.
That rave reviews. I did not get a chance to screen that one. So I will see it soon. I will see it soon. I think that'll do it. We'll be back in a couple weeks with our best of 2024 lists. And then shortly after that with our movie and TV extravaganza that we do every year. So anything you want to say in closing, just in case no one ever hears from you again, Amanda, because we just never know.
Happy holidays and have a good new year. If you've had a very long 2024, just keep in mind we're almost to 2025 and you can get a fresh start.
Yeah, pardons are coming soon.
Apparently for everyone, you get a pardon and you get a pardon.
It's like Oprah these days.
Hey,
what?
Real quick, actually, that reminds me, since you bring that up, there was a thing, one of the people that's getting pardoned was was a criminal from that Beloit International Film Festival movie that we saw. It was about like the horses.
All the Queen's horses, right?
All the Queen's horses. Yeah.
Yes.
That lady, she's getting a pardon.
I heard that.
crazy stuff.
If you don't know, this is a woman that stole like $50+ million.
The largest like local entity theft.
Yeah, Rita Crundell. From an employee. Crundwell. Mm-hmm. That was her name. She stole $50 million of taxpayer money. And she got pardoned by old Sleepy Joe. So, man, guy's going
crazy times out here.
He's having enough time with the pardons, boy. Let me tell you. So, if you grew up in the Midwest, and we are speaking because we were on the Beloit International Film Festival, which screened that movie, and it was a huge hit at our festival when it came out. She is not loved in this area. She is seen at as all. A terrible, terrible example of what a Midwesterner is. So, too bad. But that's going to do it for this show. We'll be back in a couple weeks. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And remember that the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, buy popcorn. I hear Rita's got money for it if you want to hit her up for some.
Happy ho-ho holidays.
Oh, dear Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you happy I came back?
TBD.
TBD.